Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. Today is Thursday, May 10th. This is show number 44. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, firstly, a little bit of housekeeping, a little bit of sort of a discussion of sort of where the show is going and how I'm taking it. So if you've been following from the beginning for, I think it's about almost been a year now that I've been doing the show, you're kind of probably familiar with some of the, you know, sort of the various oscillations it's gone through. It started off as a daily, kind of a news show, moved into kind of a periodical topical show, and that's kind of where it is now. And you may have also noticed that recently I've been able to do it a lot more. And that's a direct result of people talking about it and letting me know that they enjoy it, that they find it useful, that it has some value to you. And so that's what I'm kind of continuing to do. Hopefully doing it as often as I'm doing it isn't problematic or, you know, sort of overwhelming to you. Certainly view it as something that you can kind of pick up and put down. And certainly the way that I do it, of making each show 15 minutes rather than making it sort of a big hour-long or hour-and-a-half-long show once a week, is to kind of make it so that, you know, it's something you can listen to when you're driving to work, you can just sort of pick up and listen to while you're loading the dishwasher, or whatever. You know, it's just something that you can kind of get a quick hit. I have no problem if you want to listen at, you know, 2x or 3x or whatever you like. You know, you could probably pare it down to just, you know, about 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes if you really wanted to push it in some of the podcasting applications. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm heading. I'm hoping to kind of keep that up. I'm, you know, probably maybe 3 or 4 times a week, somewhere in that range, depending on my schedule, depending on what's going on, if there's more news, if there's more stuff going on. And honestly, if there's more kind of questions and things that people are having and asking me, you know, I'm happy to kind of deal with that and talk about it. So that's kind of just some book housekeeping. Hopefully that's useful. And, you know, if you have any feedback on that, as always, just let me know. I'll give you my contact information at the end, like always. But for today's show, I have two sort of concepts that I'm going to be talking about. One is the role of free in the App Store. And the second is going to be user-friendly affiliate links. So the first one about the role of free, and this is kind of related to an experiment that I've been running recently over the last couple of days that reinforces something that I've known for quite a while, but I didn't have as much sort of data on. And so about 2 or 3 days ago, I put Simplecasts, which is my podcast management app that I wrote just for myself initially because I'm a big fan of the 5x5 shows, and I wanted a way to listen to them and sort of on my phone, and I didn't like the way that any of the existing apps at the time worked, and this was probably about a year ago. Originally, it was kind of like a 5x5 app thing that I just kind of wrote that only did those shows, and yeah, at the time, I sort of pitched that to Dan Benjamin and said, hey, this is something I wrote, you know, do you think this would be cool? And he's like, well, you know, I'm kind of working on my own thing, so if you, you know, it doesn't really work, so it's just a 5x5 app, but, you know, good luck with it. And so I took it and made it a bit more general purpose. So it does other shows and so on, and then released it to the store. And, you know, then it kind of just fell flat. I mean, the podcast app industry sort of area is very, very competitive. There's lots and lots of apps. There's the sort of the most popular ones, Downcast, Instacast, Podcaster. I think there's one that called that. There's there's all kinds of ones that I'm forgetting. But, you know, it's a pretty crowded space, and especially all of the competition does things sort of way more and way better than a lot of the things that I do, because Simplecast is written for my tastes, for my preferences. It's designed to be incredibly simple. You know, you just kind of pick your shows, and it just sort of does the rest and turns it into kind of this continuous radio. And I'm pretty sure I was the first one of the podcasting applications to kind of do that, of having a concept of continuous play, which is kind of how I like to listen to it. You know, I get in the car, I hit play. When one show finishes, the next one starts. And that was kind of the concept that I came up with, and, you know, that's the way I implemented it. Now, you know, the app did horribly from a sales perspective. I think over its entire lifespan of almost a year, it's made me about $35, $40, $50, something like that. But it's actually an app that I continue to invest in, that I continue to change and improve and update, and that's just because I use it on a daily basis. It's the app I use to listen to podcasts, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And so it's something that I've then kind of, you know, I've kept up to date and been working on, rather than some of my apps when I launch and they do, you know, they kind of fall flat. It's like, okay, well, that was a bad idea, and move on. But it kind of always was nagging at me that, you know, this app is pretty good, but it has such a small audience. And I think a lot of that's just, you know, it's just, it's a very competitive space. And so what I was recently kind of struck by is, well, what if I just take it and make it free and see what happens? You know, see if people like it and if they find it useful, and kind of find other ways to sort of repurpose that concept into, you know, sort of make use of that in a way that will benefit me in ways that perhaps are not monetary directly. You know, it's not selling it in the store. It has other benefits. And so I did that a couple days ago, and the result is kind of remarkable. Like I said, it had sold something like 50 copies for its entire lifespan before a couple of days ago, and now it's up to almost 1,300. And that's with no publicity, no talking about it anywhere, just kind of, I just made it free in the store. Just went into iTunes Connect and said, hey, make the app free. And, you know, the app sales increased, I think if I'm looking at the report right, it went up 123,000% or something, which is, you know, it's just insane. It's the power of making something free that when people now go into the store and say, hey, I want to look at a, you know, I want a podcast manager, it shows up. Now, you know, it... So how, you know, and then I think about, you know, so how's that benefiting me? Well, for one thing, I sell an app, and this is where most of my money comes from, that is very similar to podcasting in terms of it's for listening to audiobooks. And those are kind of overlapping worlds. So there may be some kind of cross promotion that I can do there. And I think in my next, you know, I'll make sure that in the next version of Simplecast that I update, I'll have kind of, you know, maybe in the settings screen a link to, hey, if you like this, maybe you'll like audiobooks. And also I thought of it as an interesting way to potentially promote this show, to make it accessible to a wider group of people. And so, you know, in the app's, you know, sort of directory where you're looking for different shows, I promote Developing Perspective in a lot of different places. And it's kind of interesting when I look at the download stats for this, you know, sort of for the show, and over the last couple of days, the percentage of users who are using Simplecast to listen to my show has gone up dramatically. It used to be kind of like one or two, and now it's, you know, probably maybe 15, 20, 30% of the people listen to it in there. And if you exclude people who are listening in iTunes, which is the majority, it's probably even more than that. It's you know, it's probably maybe it's up to 40, 50% of, you know, my users are using it and are listening. I discovered the show and are listening it through my app, and that's great for me. You know, it's kind of a good way, and it's good for them because they got a free nice podcasting app that they can use for all kinds of shows. But it's kind of an interesting way concept that I was thinking about, of kind of finding a way to use existing assets for benefits to yourself that aren't necessarily kind of obvious. It's not just like, well, I'll sell it. Well, that didn't work. I made $50 in, you know, over a year. That's hardly sort of worthwhile at that point. It's an app that doesn't have any back end or anything sort of costs per user for me. So, you know, so that's kind of where I'm going with that. And the only kind of downside, and it's something that I kind of struggled with, is by doing that, am I kind of undercutting my competition and in a way that's not necessarily constructive for the ecosystem? But I saw, you know, it's like, oh, well, why would anyone buy Instacast if it's, you know, they can get something else for free? And it's like, well, not really. I mean, those apps are so much more robust in feature and capability than what Simplecast does that it seems only, you know, I think the kind of people who are going to be downloading them aren't necessarily the kind of people who would be sort of picking up my app for free. And, you know, I could see a lot of people who get Simplecast and find that it's an interesting sort of way to, oh, I didn't think that I could listen to podcasts outside of iTunes. That's great. And then look for something a bit more robust and featured, and it may actually even help them in terms of sort of drawing people into the concept. It's kind of like how Reading List, the new sort of the feature that was added in Lion and iOS 5 for doing kind of offline reading or sort of organizing articles to read later, may have potentially helped Instapaper readability and Pocket in terms of it kind of exposes people to the concept. So, you know, maybe I'm just sort of justifying my actions, you know, sort of in an unfair way, but that's kind of how I'm thinking about it now, and that seems to be the case. I mean, it's not like the hundreds and hundreds of people that have downloaded Simplecast the last couple of days, it doesn't seem like any of the other podcast apps are, like, falling in the ranks or anything. So that's just kind of some thoughts I had, and moreover, I'm just kind of pointing that out to show that if you're an independent developer, you can really kind of find a different audience and expand it with the power of sort of making use of free, because there just seems like there are thousands and thousands of people who just love free apps, who are trying to, who just are never going to buy an app. So they're not really part of your market in that way, but you can kind of market to them in a different way more directly. So just some thoughts. All right, moving on to user-friendly affiliate links. And this is something that I've talked about, I think, before on the show, but it's been a while. But it's something that I keep running into over and over again. So I'm going to bring it up because it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And so this is related to an article that I wrote quite a while ago about making user-friendly iTunes affiliate links. And so an iTunes affiliate link is basically a system they have where you can sign up for an account with a company called Linkshare in the United States. And Linkshare is just sort of is a middleman that lets you sort of monetize linking to the iTunes store. You can link to apps, you can link to books, you can link to music, videos, whatever. And for every time you drive someone to the store and they buy something, you get 5% of commission back from that, from Apple. So say you send someone to your app with an affiliate link, they buy it, it was 99 cents, you get 5 cents back. Simple as that. Now, the default way that Linkshare is set up in the US is you end up with these huge nasty links. When you say, I want to link to a particular app, if you want to link to any app, you end up with these big nasty links that you get that start with something like linksynergy.linkshare.com/ 80 to 90 characters of gibberish. And for me, that just looks terrible. And as a user, I always hate clicking on those links. Not necessarily, and at this point, I know where they're going. But as a user, typically, I don't like clicking on a link where I don't know what the target is, where sort of what the ultimate result of that is. And I'm trying to go to the app store, so I'm looking for an iTunes link, and here's this thing, click.linksynergy or something strange. And so what I sort of spent some time doing is working on a way to actually make what I call a short link. And, this is all supported and managed inside of iTunes. It's not like I'm going around or hacking anything. It's, all available in their documentation. But there's a way, and if you link to any store apps in the store, any content in the iTunes store, I strongly urge you to kind of follow this guide. It's in the show notes. And basically, you end up with a little suffix that you can add to any iTunes link that turns it into an affiliate link. Basically, you're going to add something that says, like, site ID and partner ID, these two little parameters to the link. And throughout the prefix will be exactly unchanged. You're going to be iTunes.com/app/audiobook/ID number, and then you just add your suffix to it. And it works great. You can apply it to anything. You'll still get your money. The only downside is you won't get click-through tracking, which is a little bit of a bummer, but I've never found that data to be particularly helpful. I mean, really, I'm using an affiliate link not to track links to find. I'm using an affiliate link in order to make money, in order to make a little bit when I'm recommending something or links to my own apps on my own site. It's a nice way to kind of get an extra 5%, so Apple gets sort of 25% and you get 75% rather than the normal 70-30 split. So that's just something I mentioned here, because it's a pet peeve. Whenever I'm looking around on a developer site and I see this big, nasty Linksynergy link, it's like it just drives me crazy. It's like, just spend the time. It doesn't take a long time to make that a short link, make it something that's user-friendly and something that people are going to really want to click on. I mean, especially if you think about something in something like Twitter, where often just the beginning of a link is shown. So in a lot of Twitter clients, you'll see like the first 100, sort of the first 10, 15 characters of a link. If that's this weird, nasty thing that doesn't mean anything, I'm far less likely to, and I think many users are far less likely to click on that than if it says, iTunes.apple.com. That kind of feels natural. That feels safe. And so I think you may have an even better conversion with that. And just a little note, you can also do it with what they call signature links, which lets you track specific conversions from different places, which I never really get into. But if you really want to do that, so you can create a signature link based for your, this is the link from my landing page. This is the link from Twitter. This is the link from this review that happened or this promotional campaign I ran. And you can kind of track conversions that way looking through the link share reports. So there's something else that you can do and keep in mind. Anyway, just kind of a pet peeve of mine that I just wanted to push again. So again, just look in the show notes. There's an article in my blog that walks you through that process. Please, please do that. Anyway, so that's it for today's show. Hope you find it useful. Hope it's interesting. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at @DavidSmith_DavidSmith. You can also find me at my blog, david-smith.org. And otherwise, hope you have a good day. Happy coding, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.